Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to the wonderful Chris Webb. He is a multi-passionate entrepreneur, creator, and investor that we are so grateful and so excited to have. Chris, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I hope that I can help any of your listeners understand a different way of looking at going back to school.
Before we begin and get into the nitty-gritty details of your journey, give us a little insight into who you are.
Sure. I am originally from New England. I joined the service many years ago, and I put every one of my service stations on the East Coast, and I said, congratulations, you're moving to Arizona. So I moved out to Arizona. In the middle of that, got married, and so packed up my wife in a car, and we drove the 3,000-mile journey down to Tucson, Arizona. Lived out there for a number of years, realized I needed to go back to school, made the decision to go back, and then since then, we've lived in Colorado, Florida, Texas, and now I'm here in Virginia.
You've made it all over the place. So you said you knew you needed to go back. What prompted that?
I was in an emerging technology, online marketing, in about 2012 to about 2014, kind of helping people realize that social media, these phones that we all carry around, are devices that we can communicate with potential customers with. Then I got involved with a home loan team, and we were on the forefront of video marketing. It was so funny. I can remember this day. I got three emails from clients from our highest loan officer. He was a guy who he played in the major leagues, and it didn't work out, so he became a loan officer. And these three emails wrote back to me, and they said, I cannot believe you took the time out of your day to do a video for me. We created a drip system that allowed us. So what prompted me is I started getting a lot of data, and I'm like, some of this stuff is very interesting, and I need to get better at understanding the technical aspect of this data that we're receiving. What does it all mean? So I realized that I needed to increase my math and my technical skills. I went back to school in my very late 30s and improved my statistical understanding. And it kind of led me to economics, and I started running econometric models on different things. And I'm sure we can talk about that a little bit later. But the reason why is because I understood that the data out there that we were measuring was something that I, at the current place, was not capable in being able to identify the trends.
Mm-hmm. In video marketing, we are so familiar with it now, but you are right. Some time ago, that was very much not the case. When we think about non-traditional students, there are so many different belief systems, so many different stereotypes. Was it difficult to make that decision? Were you nervous or afraid at any point?
Yes, it was. So the first thing is I had to get the buy-in from my wife. And I took an algebra class at the local community college, and it was a compressed course over the summer. So Monday through Thursday, it was from, I think, 5:30 to 9:30 at night. So I left my house at 7 a.m. to get to work, worked all day, and then I didn't get home till about 10:30, sometimes 11 o'clock at night. And at the end of that course, I talked to my wife and I said, you know, I don't know if I can continue to do this because I might be learning more in algebra, but I'm forgetting about my wife. And we had a long discussion, and I said, if we think this is the path, then I need to make the break, and I need to focus all of my energy on going back, understanding that the skill will improve, and then afterwards I will be rewarded for it. So that was the initial fear was just talking to my wife about it and saying, how does this look with our budget? This is what we have. This is what we would have for income if this happened. And we eventually made a decision that it would be something that we would do. So we started saving a ton of money, because when you walk away, you don't have income anymore. And unfortunately for us, our home in Arizona did not sell right away. So we were paying rent and mortgage for 6 months. And the savings that we saved, that it just diminished. But I mean, the other thing you have to consider too is with these things, they're all unknown. We did not know what would happen in terms of my wife getting a job up in Colorado when I went to Colorado State. She found a great job. So the opportunity is also in the unknown. And I think that some people, when they get fearful about decisions that they have to make because of the unknown is not always a negative thing. It can be something positive. I heard a long time ago from a guy, you may know who he is, his name is Brian Tracy. He's a leadership guy. And he said, people always get afraid about change because they put a negative spin on it. He said, if your bank account went from whatever you had in it today, but it added $1 million, is that a change? And he's right. And I think the same goes for the unknown. Sometimes the unknown is bad, and we hear about these stories about, well, we did this and we didn't know what happened. But we also need to understand that the unknown can also be good. When Steve Jobs walked out on stage with this random device that you can make phone calls on, take photos of, and text through, that was unknown. But look at what he did.
I love what you're saying about the unknown, because it's very, very easy to get intimidated. And it's easy to spend your entire life saying, oh, if I was a little braver, I would take a risk.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, our journey did not end there. We got to Colorado State, and I went back for computer science because, you know, you're working with data, you have to learn computer science. That's true. Well, it's also a foreign language for many. And I found that out the hard way when I flunked my first computer science class. And here I am telling my wife, everything's going to be fine because we're going to move. I'm going to learn how to do computer science and we're going to be fine on the back end. And then I fail the first class. And this is the foundational class for the entire program. So I had to go back and talk to her about it. And that was a tough discussion too, because now I'm in it. We can't go back to Arizona. We are there for at least 2 years, maybe longer. And we had a discussion. And here's the other thing too. Like, when I talk about talking to my wife earlier and talking to her at that point, one thing I would say is a blessing on my life is that my wife is a very candid advisor of mine. And we had a lot of discussions about what was going on. And she said, you know, you do very well at economics. You can explain why there's associations with things. And my original goal when I went back to school was to become a data scientist and start looking into these different types of marketing data that you would receive. So wouldn't you know it, that after my wife said that, I'm like, okay, after I sulked for a little while and then actually built up the courage to say, you know what, Chris, act like a man, for lack of a better term. I know you can't really say that today, but back then you could. I started looking into economists. And guess who gets hired an awful lot as data scientists that are not computer science majors? Economic majors. And the reason being is because we create these models that are just basic regression models. And we use those to identify associations with outcome based on different input variables. It was eye-opening to me. I talked to one of my econ professors about it, and he just explained, yeah, absolutely, people do that all the time. He says you can have a couple different roles when you're in economics. And I think this is a good point for people too. Make decisions, but get a lot of input from other people in your general area. My wife is my number one advisor, but if I have a question about economics, I go to somebody that I know who understands that. I'm not going to ask any of my friends. I'm not going to ask any of my family members. They have your best interest in mind, but they're not privy to the information of your situation. And I think that that is something that people need to understand going forward, is that you got to have those advisors along the way, and you got to have those advisors that are there throughout.
About the advisors, we discussed that so much here, is sometimes we go into a specific major or a career path or do something with our life because it would make our parents happy, our siblings happy, our professors happy. With the input, it is so hard not to let it override your personal power. How did you still make sure that you were making decisions from you?
There's a lost art of people actually doing reflection. And we do, in my current role, we do a lot of assessments. And I often get two of them. I do the assessment myself, and I bring it home, and I have my wife do it. And the reason why I do that is because in my head, I often say, oh, I'm like this, I'm like that, I'm like this. Exactly. But she sees what my behaviors are actually like. And then I compare the two. So then I can see, like, okay, where am I? And there's a book out there, I think it's called, or no, I'm sorry, there's two books. The one is that I was thinking about was the E-Myth, but that's a different one. The Strength Finder book. And what they talk about in that book is that you have a certain level where your kind of innate talent takes you, and then you can skill build on top of that. Well, if my innate talent tells me that I am very disorganized, I need somebody to come in and fill that gap. So what I did is I realized where my strengths were, and I tried to align my journey with those strengths. And the good thing about me is my wife is a very good complement to me. Where I am very disorganized, she comes in and organizes everything, and I just follow that plan. Where I'm very good at being able to identify certain things in today's world, where, like, investment-wise, she understands that I've run through the numbers, I've run through the scenarios, and this is the optimal outcome, and we can make a choice on that. And I think that aligning the people who are helping you with your strengths, that's really where you see the growth that people have in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And for those who are not partnered, it could be your best friend, it could be your brother, your sister, but having someone that you know, A, cares about you, B, is trustworthy, and C, will tell you the truth, is huge.
And, you know, it's funny, I just saw somebody on Twitter the other day. He said, I was talking to my friend and I said, hey, how long have you been pregnant for? And she wasn't pregnant. And he goes, am I a jerk? And I go, well, if she's a true friend, she might be, you guys might be laughing about this in a few months. And I think that what you said about having that person who you trust, that is so critical. And I mean, I was half joking about what I said about that, but it kind of brings it down to, when there is an issue in your life and somebody can come to you and be able to explain to you that, hey, something is not right, you need to have that.
And particularly in university, where it's easy to feel isolated, it's easy to feel alone. And if you've always lived with your family, maybe you've been very close with them, and suddenly you're in an environment where you're not, it's even more important to hold on to those people.
And in some cases, you're thousands of miles away from your family. That's very tough. And we took in my nephew for about 2 weeks once in Arizona from New England. I was talking to my brother-in-law about this, and he was like, Chris, if you think you're going to be able to undo years of his behavior in 2 or 3 days, he said, that's a very difficult ask. And now if we take that and we apply it to somebody going to university for either traditional or non-traditional. Traditional, you're taking away the life that you grew up in, where you have some sort, you have something that has stabilized you. Yes. And now you're in this chaos. It does a number on you. Non-traditionally, oftentimes the baseline is created by you. And now you're like, okay, now I have no baseline and I'm kind of taking a bet. Will this pan out or will it not? That's a lot of stress.
We love to discuss lifestyle here, because for me, I chose a major that was not right for me on a lot of different levels. The lifestyle was not right. The income was not right. The hours were not right. When we think about you and we think about the choices that you've made, I think the best way you can summarize it is betting on yourself. How did you get more comfortable betting on yourself?
Well, one thing I did when I went to, I gave myself positive feedback. So, but how do you do that sometimes? Like people say, oh, well, you can listen to things and you can do this. Well, I took a lot of action. An example of this is I was in maybe it was the spring semester of the year before my senior year. I transferred in a lot of credits. So I was only at Colorado State for 2 years, but I realized that I needed to go to grad school. The idea was to complete an undergraduate degree and then get into a master's program and figure out what I wanted to do. So we drove down to Denver and I talked to the economics program professor at the University of Denver. Told him what I thought would have been my research topic would have been blockchain technology. And he laughed at me and said, there's no way that it's just a fad. So on the way back, I was talking to my wife and I was like, one thing I realized today, any school that I consider, I have to go talk to their program director. It was just a drive for me. Then it turned into multiple plane rides. So as somebody who left work, meaning I have no income, how am I going to do that? Well, I got this Southwest card that gave me thousands of points just to use it. I didn't pay for a flight. In fact, I haven't paid for a flight since then. And what I did is I flew to Alabama. I flew to Oklahoma. I flew to California 3 times. I flew to Florida. And I looked at all these different schools, talked to each one of their program directors to identify, one, what they would offer me in terms of the education style, and two, what kind of a fit would I be? Like, I toured the Masters of Applied Economics at UCLA. Excellent program. They offer a Bloomberg Technology certification for some of those people who don't know. That is a certification that allows you to become a very good trader. And you can use that. I think the terminals, I think they're like 24 grand a year you have to pay to keep it. But they certify you in that, which means now I can go to the job market with this certification. Excellent. Loved it. Would I be a good fit at UCLA? Well, my wife would have been 10 miles off campus, living in a small room, because we were going to have to live on campus there, because who can pay Los Angeles prices, right? And would I be able to go back and in case I had to? Wasn't a good fit. Same program at Florida State. Not only were we going to live maybe about 5 miles away, but we were also going to buy a house. Much better fit. Eventually, I did choose Florida State. Claremont Graduate University was another one that I really looked at. But by talking to each one of these professors, I got a better sense of, I am making the right choice. I remember at Claremont Graduate University, the president was there and he said, you know, I have left the workforce 3 times in my life and I went back to school. And every time that I rejoined the workforce, it was at a significant pay raise. That is positive reinforcement to somebody who did the exact same thing. And I would have never have done that had I not gone to that. Sometimes you have to act to find those seeds of positive reinforcement from real people that you can't get just by reading a book or watching a video. You have to feel it, and it has to drive you to say, you know what? I know it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon and I want to go home and sit on the couch, but I have to go to the library for at least an hour to study this regression. You have to do that sometimes, especially when you're an older student, because you bet everything on that.
That's amazing. And you're right. And I love what that, was it the president? Was it the president said about going back 3 times, because he bet on himself 3 times. For many or most of us, we're lucky if we bet on ourselves once in our lives, which is just tremendous to think about.
And I didn't even choose the school, but I was there just in case I did.
And just to see that and experience. So many people will talk about betting about themselves online. And of course, it's helpful. And I believe that it is of service. But when we see it, like you said, when we hear it, when we experience it, which is why I'm loving having you on this, because it's so important for anybody who might be young and want to start a business, might be young and want to do something out of the ordinary or change their major, to know it's okay to start over and there's nothing wrong with it.
And I will add to that, there's something that maybe the generation before me kind of told my generation that I think got lost in the generation of social media. And it's celebrate outwardly wins, discuss failures internally. And I think a lot of people, they use their phones to celebrate a lot of things because they bet on themselves and they won. But then they go back and they use their phones to bet on, because they bet on themselves and they lost, and they get a lot of negative feedback because of that. And I think that you have to, I think those are discussions that you should have in person rather than online. And I think it will help you kind of offset that negativity that you feel in your daily actions.
I agree with that completely. I'm very much that way. And it's been a huge, huge, huge change in my life to just not go for that negative feedback loop. Chris, I have a difficult question for you. If you were going to give three pieces of advice to university students right now, they can be related to what you spoke about or even unrelated, what would those three pieces of advice be?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because when we did have our cookie shop, we had 9 kids that worked for us. I think all 9 are in school right now. I think maybe one was a sophomore, so she maybe has not graduated yet. And I've given this. Number one, network. I have never received a position in a workplace that was not introduced to me by somebody that I knew. We have all these different AI resume builders now. Nothing will be more beneficial for your life than knowing somebody in a company that can attest to your strengths and weaknesses. So I would say networking would be number one. I would say the second thing is focus on the core of your major. For example, I have come full circle now and I teach economics as well. So Econ 101, supply and demand. If you understand that, you will have a much better life than those who do not. Because you can see, you can kind of read the tea leaves a little bit and you can say, a lot of people are buying this product. Why? And then you can dig into it a little deeper and you can see the underlying like input values that are creating this huge amount of demand. So that's for economics. That's what I'm in. But maybe you're in marketing. What kind of metrics would you use when you're in marketing that you could use not only in Boise, Idaho, but also in Tallahassee, Florida? Knowing those core level, basic understanding, foundational educational baselines, that will help you exceed in your career, because you're not going to be the person who's understanding the latest trend. And then when the trend fades, your boss says, hey, what do you think about this? And you're like, well, it doesn't align with the trend that I just told you about. You're saying, well, based on this fundamental principle, this could work or this could not work. Fundamentals are there for a reason. They are there to be built upon. Sometimes they're built upon and they do fine. Sometimes they're built upon and they do not do very well. So networking, understanding your fundamentals. The third one I would say is be open. If you have a job role in Johnsonville, Tennessee, and you have a job role in Atlanta, Georgia, and Atlanta, Georgia is $20,000 more in salary, make sure that that $20,000 more in salary will provide you with the type of lifestyle that you want. Because the cost of living in middle America is significantly cheaper than you expect in comparison to any city or any location that is adjacent to a city. That is something that I've actually been trying to implement at our university and just tell them, hey, you guys need to understand that people see the salaries here and they do not want to come here. They need to understand that the dollar here goes much further than in Dallas. So understand that, you be open to where you want to go. And I'll give you a fourth one. If you want to be in Atlanta, make sure the company that you want to get hired from is headquartered in Atlanta. You can work in Richmond, Virginia for Coca-Cola. If you move up the ranks in Coca-Cola, you're going to Atlanta.
That is really true. And it's something that we don't think about. I love your first tip. For me, networking has been huge. It's been my way to express my personality, my likes, my dislikes, my interest, and like I said, my energy. And people will remember you based on the way that you make them feel, based on the way that you can hold those conversations. So I always encourage people that are listening to this podcast, as much as you can get out there and practice your communication skills, the better your life will generally go.
And if I could just add one more thing to that, because earlier I said I created positive feedback by taking action. One way that you can increase your network significantly with one action is handwriting a thank you card. I did that to every job fair that we had at Florida State. And I still to this day talk to many of the recruiters that did not hire me. We do not. I heard the other day somebody said they know somebody, and what they do is they write the thank you card before they meet the person. They talk to them. They write the first two sentences. They talk to them. After the meeting, they finish it and they leave it at the desk. And I'm like, that's an interesting strategy. I might try that.
I might try that too. That's not so bad. Now I have another question for you. Is there a life, a quote, a mantra you live your life by?
Yes. Two, actually. One is from a pastor friend, and it's not biblical. It is, I think, Nathan Hale or some writer from the 1700s wrote it. The only way out is through. What that means is when you're in a situation that is difficult, the only way to get out of it is to go through it. So that's my first one. The second one is my first semester at Colorado State. We had a guy who graduated, went on to Stanford, came back to do a lecture. And he said, we often forget, or we often overestimate what we can do in 1 year and underestimate what we can do in 10 years. It has been less than 10 years since I chose to go back to school. I have moved around a ton of places. I increased my income by threefold, and I have increased my investment portfolio by a significant measure. And I still have 2 years left before 10 years is up. I think sometimes we put false timelines on certain things that we do. Maybe a one-year goal will take 16 months. Maybe a one-year goal will take 3 years. We don't know. Just keep moving towards those goals, and eventually you're going to look back and you're going to be like, look at what I've done in the last 5 years.
If people are inspired by you, they want to find you, do you have a website, or is that not something that you do?
I do have like a Substack that I started. You could probably find me on Twitter at EconWeb, EconWebb. That's probably where I would be most likely.
Well, if you're inspired by Chris, you want to bask in his energy, learn a little more about him, go over to X/Twitter and learn a little bit more. I will never get used to calling it X. Chris, thank you so much for coming here, for sharing all of your wisdom, all of your insights, and taking the time to just spread this with our university students. We are so grateful.
Very good. I appreciate it. Thanks for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.